I've always loved Celtic music, the traditional music of Ireland, Scotland, Wales and Brittany, but I'd sort of tuned it out in recent years. Then I ran into a piece by our own Ed Ward in Mother Jones magazine, not known for its traditionalism, so I figured it was time to catch up on my Celtic. One of the guys Ed said to listen to was Scottish fiddler Johnny Cunningham. Here he is in one of his early incarnations with his group Silly Wizard. When we put music like that on around here, there's not very much Scots blood, I have to say, in the people here. But it doesn't matter. Everyone starts to tap their feet and sort of tap the loose change in our pockets. Do you have to be Scots to appreciate this? Why is it that it connects with so many different ranges of people?
Well, I think Celtic music seems to move all types of people. I don't think there's any one particular musical background that people tend to come from to listen to this kind of thing. Once they hear it, people tend to be drawn to it, I think, basically because I think it's very old, and there's a depth to the music that maybe newer music doesn't have, so it connects with a lot of people.
Now, when people hear you, could they, like Professor Doolittle, or at least with Eliza Doolittle and Professor Higgins, say, aha, he's from that part of Edinburgh?
I don't think so, not at all. I think I have a fairly mongrel style, basically, because I grew up with both Scottish and Irish music, and I kind of have a synthesis of various styles. A lot of things have affected my playing, even the play like Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys, stuff that I listened to when I was growing up that wouldn't specifically be Celtic music, but just moved me in some way, crept in.
Do you hear stuff in this country? You mentioned the Texas Playboys. Do you hear stuff in this country when you hear country and old time fiddlers that you could identify as being from Scotland, from your roots?
Tons of stuff. It's great. I think the fiddle is an amazing instrument, and America is a great place to be if you're a fiddle player, because it's such a melting pot of cultures, and each culture seems to have its fiddle tradition, so you can get the best of all that music here in one country.
Let's listen to a bit of your fiddle playing then. Do you want to say something about what we're going to hear?
Sure. This is a tune called Leaving Brittany, and it was written on the ferry coming away from Brittany after a tour there. And it's a kind of tune that's part Breton and part me, basically.
Great, let's hear a bit. Johnny Cunningham playing fiddle on a tune called Leaving Brittany, and the Pernod Waltz, is it?
The Pernod Waltz, yeah.
And what's a good Scot like you who should be drinking scotch, drinking Pernod?
Well, you know, when in Paris do as the Parisians do, I don't know.
Now let's move also away from the fiddle. You really committed in some ears, I guess, eyes, an ultimate heresy when Celtic went electric and the bagpipes met the synthesizer and the sequencer. How is that marriage working out?
Well, I think if you respect the tradition, then it has to work out. To tell you the truth, in Scotland and Ireland, people are much more open-minded about this kind of thing than the people we call the ethnic police, who are people who really wish they were from places that they're not, and they hold on to folk music as something sacred and unmoving, rather like a museum piece that has no life. They tend to think of it as having one place in time. There was nothing before and there will be nothing after.
And I'm a lover of this music, I have to confess, but there is something, there's a hardness to it, there's a kind of edge to it, there's almost a sort of violence to it sometimes. I'm not talking about the slow airs. I've been in parts of Scotland and you find kids that just have nothing to do. This music kind of expresses a lot of their frustration in ways.
I think you're exactly right. I think that it's music that very much reflects the cultures that it come from. It's a working class music. It's music which documents the feelings of people who maybe don't have that much to look forward to. They tend to drown themselves in the music, you know. And I think you're right. There's a lot of there's a lot of energy to the music. I think sometimes, yes, it could be construed as being violent.
Yeah, not that it should have to be feel-good music, but that there may be more protest and relevance in it than people give it credit for.
Oh, I think any part of someone's culture that has a definite relevance. I think we lost or were in danger of losing a lot of our own culture because of the encroachment of other cultures. And it took a long time for this music to be a cool thing for a kid to want to have. You know, they used to take my fiddle off me and break it on a regular basis, and I was slightly put upon by other people when I was at school. I used to come home bruised and broken, having been told by even the teachers at the school that what I was playing was gutter music. The way that I spoke was gutter language, because they had a lot of teachers there who didn't understand the difference between what was good Scots and what was bad English.
They were English teachers, wanted to speak properly.
Yeah. Well, properly to their standards, you know. So I think when we first started, there was a lot of people saying, look, these are these really young people that dress and look the same as us, and they're playing, what's this music they're playing? And all of a sudden, the younger people in Scotland and Ireland started to discover that this was their music. We had audiences back home where there would be kids coming in there, you know, like 10, 11, right up through, like, you know, punked out kids, and then right up to people in their 80s and 90s. The BBC actually did a documentary on the Highlands and Islands, and they talked to some woman, I believe, on Isla, who was over 100 years old and spoke very little English. In fact, this was for Radio Highland, and they asked her if there was anything that she hadn't done in her life yet that she would still like to do. And she said, if I got married again, I'd love to have Silly Wizard play at my wedding. You know, it's like, you know, really a cool thing, you know.
Did you go play for her anyway?
Oh, God, I would have loved to, you know.
Now, what you were doing until 3 o'clock this morning was working on a rock album, I gather.
That's right. I play with a band now called the Rain Dogs. So this is my first foray really into the cold world of rock and roll.
How does it feel?
It's very exciting, but it's very different from anything that I've ever done before. I don't think I really ever have worked as hard as I have since I started playing rock music.
Johnny Cunningham, will you go back home to Edinburgh, or is it fair to call that home?
Oh, yeah, I think the States is home for me just now because I love the excitement of the working environment. And what I hope to do is, I'd like to, not sounding normal, you know, Scottish modelling, which is normal, but I'd like to go back to Scotland to live out my years, I think. I think working over here has an edge to it. It seems very unsafe. If you don't look after yourself, no one else will. Whereas back in Scotland, I think a lot of what I wanted to say musically, I would never have bothered to try and do because people looked after me there, you know? And I think sometimes, that even though that's a great thing, it's not the way to constantly produce what you want to produce.
You seem to have taken pretty good care of yourself here.
And you know, there's a lot of great people here too, you know?
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you, Tim.